Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, let's turn with the Lord's help and read from the Epistle of James, chapter number 1. Epistle of James, chapter number 1. Ljubav ne želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz poslanice Jakovljeve, prvu glavu. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May God bless our reading this morning. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Many thoughts were conveyed in the prayer. Much pleading from the Lord for strength, for wisdom and guidance and understanding, and to apply the things that we know of him and that we read of him, and that we would apply those things into our hearts, and that we would be strengthened and walk in his ways. James, who opens up here and describes himself as a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. James didn't even realize how privileged he was when he was born into the family in which he grew up in. Much as many of us here perhaps didn't realize how privileged we were to grow up in a home that knew God, that served God, that taught his ways. James didn't believe that his brother Jesus was the Messiah. It tells us in the scriptures that even like 6 months prior to the cross, it says that James and his brothers did not believe in him. The Messiah, born in his house, raised together. He didn't believe in him. He loved him as a brother, but he didn't believe in him that he was the Messiah. But later it tells us that James is found along with his brothers and his mother in the upper room. And it tells us later that Jesus showed himself to James. And James became a believer. And James believed in the Lord Jesus, and he is able now to pen this epistle, an epistle which does not have perhaps the inspiration of the Spirit in the sense that Paul was given. Paul was a theologian in every aspect, and James is not here, but James has a full understanding of who the Lord Jesus is, and he brings about to us practical everyday life that we can apply to our lives and our hearts, of which we prayed for that we would have. That we would have this instruction from the Lord Jesus in which to walk in this newness of life in which he has called us to. He tells us he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. And he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers or various or different temptations. And the word temptations here doesn't necessarily mean falling into temptations as Satan will tempt us with lusts and anger and different things like that. No, he's speaking here of trials that we go through, of the various things that he said his brethren are currently going through the trials and that they are encountering and feeling and the persecutions that are taking place throughout the brethren, which are being dispersed through different parts of the land and persecuted and being brought to death. He says, count it a joy when you are persecuted. Because know this, he says, that your faith, the trying of your faith, God does not try our faith to show him who we are. He tries us so that we can see who we are. He knows who we are. But it's a polishing process that he reveals to us how weak we are when we fall under a trial of any kind and we stumble and crumble. And he does it for our good. He polishes us as a refiner's fire purifies the gold. So his desire is that we would be purified and brought into the image of his dear son. And so he says, count it a joy. Don't bemoan what you're going through. Don't say, oh, why? Why me? Why are you going to blame God for what is taking place in your heart when what he wants for you is that which is good? Because there's a problem in your life. He wants to bring you through that and to refine you and to bring you into the pureness that his law demands. And so he tells them and us today, the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's what it will bring about, patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting. In other words, in lack of nothing. There's nothing that you will lack. Why? Because patience had her perfect work in you. And then he goes on and says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who are we going to ask from? Do we turn to the historians, to the know-it-alls, the the ones who have been schooled and the Bible scholars and all. Is that who he says to turn to? If you're lacking some wisdom, he says, turn to God. Turn to God. He giveth to all men, it says, liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But, he says, if you want to come and bring your petitions to the Lord, don't be wavering. Have faith. Have faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We know what waves are like. We've seen waves, boisterous waves. And we know that Jesus was in the boat and the disciples were in the boat when waves were tossing that boat about and they felt that they were going to perish. For sure, these are waves tossed about, driven. He says, that's how you are if you lack the faith. But you come to him asking for wisdom, but you don't believe he's going to give it to you. And why are you seeking it? Are you seeking the wisdom so that you can enlighten others, so you can show what you've been endowed with, how much knowledge you have, to lift yourself up? That's not, you have no faith then. You're a wave that is driven and tossed. You have no faith. What do you want faith, or what do you want wisdom for? It tells us that Solomon asked for wisdom and he received it. And there was no other man that had the wisdom that he had until Jesus Christ came. No other man was given that because he asked for that which was right. And dear ones, when we come to God with our petitions, what do we seek? The prayer went out today. We sought, that was wisdom. Give us an understanding. Give us the will. Reveal thyself to us. For let not that man think that he shall receive some wisdom, anything. Don't think that you're going to get anything if you don't have faith. If you're being tossed about, if you're just asking for knowledge, a knowledge that you can show who you are and so on, says don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. Whatever you learn, you're going to learn through the books. And you might know book, chapter, and verse. You might be able to quote. You might be able to really even show a Christian that he doesn't know as much as you know. And yet, the servant of God may not be able to quote book, chapter, and verse, but he knows what James is writing here. He knows the wisdom that he is seeking, and he knows what he knows. And he knows that the Lord Jesus reigns supreme, that he gives the crown of life to those who serve him and search him out. And so what is our knowledge? What is our desire for knowledge? What is our desire for? He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What did Jesus say? You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. You want to be a servant of two masters? You are unstable in every way. You are that wave, boiling over, tossed around to and fro. You're unstable. Is the sea stable when the waves are boisterous? No. Well, that's what your life is like when you want to serve two masters. You're double-minded. Your mind is with the Lord. Your mind is with the world. Well, you're right where Satan wants you. We are there. And we're going to go on our hands or on our knees and clasp our hands before our Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me. And then as soon as we step out, we forget everything we asked for. He says here, talks about seeing ourselves in the glass, if I could just find it here. He He says, but whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, when we behold ourselves in the glass, as it tells us here, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man, like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he sees himself. And he goes his way and he forgets what manner of man he is. He just saw. You look in the mirror in the morning, you see you're uncombed. You need a shave. You need to, before you go to work, you need to fix yourself up a little bit. Be presentable. And you walk out of there and you know you need to do it and you get distracted. You want to make yourself a quick breakfast or something and you're distracted. You forget what you look like. Because something else occupies your mind, your need, your want, and you forget what you wanted to do. And you go to work that way. And your boss asks you, why are you so unkept? Do you have a comb? Yeah, I have a comb. And you show him a comb. Well, use it. That's what he's saying here. You see yourself. The word of God reveals unto us who we are. But it does way more than that. It does way more than that. In Corinthians, he says, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, what do we see when we look in this glass, the mirror of God's word? We see the glory of the Lord. But that's not all we do. He gives us now the power. He says, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You look into the Word. We ask Him for wisdom, nothing wavering, and we are changed. What are we changed into? The glory of the Lord. It's real. He can work this change in us. He worked it in James. But James had to believe. When he believed, he was led by the Spirit. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, and the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. There's no particular sin in being poor. There's no particular sin in being rich. The sin comes in the heart. But it also tells us that, you know, Mary rejoiced that she was just a nobody and she was exalted. Dear ones, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be blessed. They will see God. And we read the Sermon on the Mount. Those who are brought low, rejoice, because you will be exalted. You will be blessed. And dear ones, we know that many, many in this world are poor, are in poverty. That doesn't define them as unblessed. We know many people are in the world that are rich. That doesn't define them as blessed. Not at all. That's man's thinking. That's how we like to perceive things. That's how we want to acknowledge our condition and so on. Well, that's just how God he looks with more favor on someone else. The Lord Jesus had nothing. He didn't have a place to lay his head. That's who our Lord was, and he said, look at me and learn of me. This is the glory that we are to be changed into, his image. To be content, as Paul said, I've learned to be content with everything. Content in need, content in having, content in everything. Because his focus was one, the Lord. The Lord whom he saw. The Lord whom he realized that he was persecuting. And he was brought and he was given a revelation of who he is. And he sought to change his life. And he gave his will over unto him. And he talks about what is the brevity of life. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, and it withered the grass, and the flower falleth. And the grace of the fashion, it's blooming, it's gone, it's withered. It's perished. That's how you will fade away. If you are rich and living in your riches, or if you are poor and desiring those riches, same thing. Do we ever say, oh, I'd buy a house, I'd buy this, I'd buy a bigger house, I would do this. Our hearts are way, way, far, far away from the Lord and the image that we see in His Word. And we see Him, but we quickly forget. We see and we say, okay, that's it. I need to change. Okay, starting now, I'm going to change. And we walk out and we forget. Why? Because just like we were distracted with breakfast and we didn't comb our hair, we were distracted with something else. We're distracted with something else, and we fail. And it tells us here that blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. There's a crown of righteousness that it speaks of in the scriptures, and Jesus had a crown of thorns. But He gives us a crown of life. So these Christians who are tempted or going through these trials and giving their life, He says, you will receive a crown of life. Through your death, you will get life. Dear ones, through our dying to self, Jesus gives us the crown of life. He gives us Himself. He tells us in scriptures, in the revelations, that we will see Him. He gives Himself to us. He says, the Lord hath promised what? He promised the crown of life to those that love Him. Oh, but I love the Lord. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind I love Him. I'm just weak. No, you don't love Him. Oh, don't say that. No, I'm not. I'm not saying it. The Word says it. The Word that we're looking into that reveals the image of Jesus Christ to us, who we are to be changed into. He tells us that. He tells us you don't love me. Though we can confirm, yes, look at what I do. Look, again, what are we doing? We're looking at, what can I do for the Lord? We can do nothing for Him. He doesn't need anything from us. He wants our hearts. Give me your heart, and I will empower you to do everything. You'll be changed. It's this new birth that He spoke of to Nicodemus. You'll be changed. This is the mystery of regeneration. I will do this work in you. But it's a will. Your will that you have to desire it. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. God cannot be tempted. God is good. There is no evil in Him. And so when there's no evil in Him, He can't be tempted with evil. Neither would He ever tempt you or me with evil. Never. Temptation that tells us here, every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn, is tempted, when he is drawn away with his own lust and he is enticed. Eve was drawn away by her own lust and enticed. And Satan deceived her. The serpent, who gave himself over to Satan to be his agent, he deceived Eve. How? Surely thou shalt die, God said to Eve. Satan tells her, surely thou shalt not die. And that right away prompts in her mind, okay. And what did it do now? She's enticed. Wait a minute, I'm not going to die? Oh, now I see that the fruit is good. It's desirable now. I want it. And yeah, take it. You're not going to die. You're going to know. You're going to be like God. You're going to know way more. God's keeping something good from you. Take it. You're not going to die. And it tells us here, lust conceived. The lust is in her. The seed, the temptation, is from the devil. He gives it. Never God. Never God. He says it here. Don't ever, ever accuse God of evil, of being, of giving you a temptation to sin. Never. Cannot be. He can't do it. So, what does he say here? When you're tempted, you're drawn away by your own lust. And it talks about something being conceived. So, when your lust, which we all have in us, is dormant. It's dormant. And the seed comes in. It can come in through a billboard. It can come in through a bad movie. A dirty movie. Shouldn't be watching that garbage. A dirty book. Shouldn't be reading that garbage. But, you know, it's just a little bit of entertainment, right? Just something. But you're enticed. You're feeding something that is in you. It's in all of us. It's dormant. And we're feeding it. Open your eyes. Gimme, gimme. And we feed it. And now there's a birth that takes place. Sin is born. Sin is born and it takes on a life of its own. It goes its own way. And that sin is ours. It's ours. We conceived it. We did. Not God. God didn't tempt me with that. I wanted to see how far I could go. I conceived sin. And it's my child. It's mine now. It is only by God's grace that he will take that away from me. That's it. There's no other way to get rid of it. Because it took on a life of its own. Only by his mercy and grace, he will remove that as far as the east is from the west. He takes it away from us. That's who our Lord is. And what does it bring forth? When it is finished, it brings forth death. So he says, don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It's from our Lord. It comes down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is what he gives us life for. So he says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, that lust within us could be activated by somebody belittling us. And it's a different type of conception that will take place. It's going to bring forth the sin of anger. You know, man doesn't want to be belittled. Man doesn't want to be insulted. Man doesn't want to be made. But Christ said, are you greater than you a servant, are you greater than your master? This is what they did to me. Don't expect anything different. So when you're belittled, don't let that seed to be come together with your lust and come now with an anger. Brothers and sisters, anger is deadly. That's a fruit of the flesh. It's a fruit of the flesh. It's not a fruit of the spirit. Again, when we think of lust, it's not always some pornographic thoughts, things like that. No. It's anger. It's desiring to be rich. These are all lusts that are within us that we allow to be fed, and it brings forth sin, and it's ours. And it can only be taken away by the grace of God. Be slow to speak. There, we see Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. He sees Moses, he sees Elijah, he sees the Lord. And they're talking. They're talking of Calvary, of that which is coming. And we find Peter now suddenly blurting out. He wasn't listening. He wasn't slow to speak. He should have just listened. He might have heard something. Speaking of the death that he was going to die. And so God silences him and he says, a voice comes from heaven. He says, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Stop. Stop talking. Listen to my son. Dear ones, how often can we hear that? Stop. Stop talking. Stop reasoning. Stop thinking you know something. Stop thinking there's a better way. There's an easier way. Stop. Just stop. Listen to my son. Be swift, quick to hear. Speak, Lord, and thy servant will listen. Isn't that what, who was it, Samuel? Said that. Speak, and I will listen. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't ever think that your righteous indignation, that you even have such a thing. No, we don't have that. We have a fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness and gentleness and kindness. Against us, there's no law. There's no law. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How is our soul going to be saved? Through his word. Do we know his word? Are we distracted? Are we so distracted by the busyness of life that we create oftentimes by our wants? Really? Usually? But are we so distracted by life that we forget that which can save our souls, the engrafted word? Dear ones, Jesus spoke of the vine. He spoke of a being in the vine and bearing fruit. And Paul, then we can read in Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, all three chapters, we find Paul expounding on that, what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be in him. Are we even interested? Is it just a way of life? Is it lost upon us as it was on James in his 30 plus years? Was it lost upon him how blessed he is and how fortunate he was to have been raised in the home that he was raised in? Is it lost upon us, dear ones, what we have been given and what is expected from us? Be a doer, it tells us. We went over that. Be a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, wait a minute. No such thing. Works don't save us. No, absolutely not. This is a product of faith. This is a product of faith. And yes, we can, what, two Christians can do the very exact same thing, and one is lost and one is saved. Because one is coming from a heart that loves the Lord. One is coming from a heart that knows he should do it. Big difference. Big difference. It's a difference of life or death. The difference of life or death. And we say, well, don't be so harsh. I'm not. It's the word that tells us that. Paul says, you give your body to be burned, it means nothing. Why? It's not by faith. You didn't do it for love of the Lord. The crown of life isn't given to you. It's given to those who love him, it says. Those who love him. Dear ones, do we love our Lord? Who is he to us? Is our religion Christianity isn't even, that's not even really a religion. It's Christ. It's Christ who we are, our focus is on. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I can be a Christian and ignore Christ. What does it mean? That means my religion is defiled. It means nothing. Religion isn't going to save anybody. Jesus Christ will. And so don't ever embrace just this and this, and this is more conformable, this is more, this is better, this is not, this is more liberal, this is... Look at Christ. Look at Christ. He is our religion. He is who we serve. And that pure religion, and it's undefiled before God and the Father, is this: visit the fatherless widows in their affliction, and do what? Keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Dear ones, we find Jonathan had, he loved David. It says that he cast his robe, his garments, his sword before him. He says, I will do whatever you say. But we don't really see Jonathan doing that. We see for the next dozen years or so, he's not with David in the caves. He's not in all the dangerous wanderings and runnings that he is from his father. He's not with him. He's not with him on the way. And Jonathan ends up perishing, perhaps because he wasn't with him. Dear ones, did we say the same thing as Jonathan? Here is my life, Lord. I lay it at your feet, but I don't want to follow you. I'm not going to go with you. That's a dangerous road. That road that you gave on the Sermon on the Mount, that's requiring way too much. I gave you my life, though. I do love you. No, make no mistake about it. I do love you. I gave you my life. I was baptized. I'm coming to church. I'm not doing evil things, but I'm not going to follow you every step of the way, because you know I'm just flesh and blood, and you know I'm going to fail, right? You know, so then I'm allowed to fail, right? Wrong. That means I just don't love him. That's all it means. That's all it means. I don't love him. I don't love him, and there's no crown of life for me. The crown of life is given to those who love him. The dear ones, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, his word, let's find time to meditate upon it. Let's find time to study, to discuss it with one another, to learn from one another, from the Lord Jesus. Ask in faith, reveal yourself to me, Lord. He can't be found by searching. No, he reveals himself to those who seek him, who seek him through faith. Ask of me, and I will reveal myself to you. And so, dear ones, we may not know him because we never really want to know him. The will is too strong. The will is too strong. Man likes to today turn to genetics and say, well, that's just how I was born. Those are my genes. Genes, someone can look at my son and say, he looks exactly like you. Those are genes. But he tells the woman at the well, he tells the man, are you going to be able to change your stature? Are you going to grow 1 inch or 2 inches? That's genetics. You can't change that. But he tells the woman, he says, go and sin no more. That's not genetics. That's not, well, I was just born that way. My father was a sinner. My father did this, and I'm now doing the same thing because I'm a product of him. No, that's not genetics. Jesus says, go and sin no more. He's not going to create you in a way which you can't come out of. No. Yes, many of us are raised in many different homes, many different ways. But Jesus is the same. And he calls us unto him. And he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Embrace his promises, my dear ones. Embrace his promises and serve him. And we will be blessed indeed with the crown of life. Amen.